Now I want to read from Genesis this morning, chapter 5, and then a verse over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Genesis chapter 5, just a few verses here from verse 21 through to 24, and then in Hebrews 11. Genesis 5, 21 reads, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." And then if you would move over into Hebrews 11, and just one verse, verse number 5. It says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." And we know that God will bless the reading of his word for Christ's sake. Walking is an activity and that many people are involved in, particularly at this time of the year. People of all ages are out walking. We see them out, particularly in the part of the country where I am at the minute, up there in the north coast. My people, many people from all ages are out walking. And people walk for many different reasons. Some for pleasure. They just enjoy a good walk on a nice summer evening. Others walk for exercise, or to lose weight, or to stay healthy. They feel that a good, crisp walk can keep them healthy. Some people walk for charity. They go on sponsored walks so that the money they can gather in from that sponsored walk can be given to the charity or the cause of their choice. In the forthcoming Olympic Games, there will be gold and silver and bronze medals given out in the walking competitions. Some people walk alone. Others walk with friends. Others join a walking club. And many people are into walking today. But the question I want to ask you this morning is this: are you walking with God? Are you walking with God? You may go out and walk with friends or family or others, but I wonder, are you and I walking with God? Believers are referred to as pilgrims. We're told that the Christian life is a pilgrimage, and on that pilgrimage, I wonder, are we walking with God? A man called Enoch is brought before us on the page of Scripture, who was the seventh from Adam, and it says of Enoch that Enoch walked with God. And I want to think with you this morning about this man Enoch and about the walk that he took with God. And as we think about this morning, I want to think first of all about the world that Enoch lived in. In the early chapters of Genesis, particularly Genesis 4 through to 6, we find the kind of world that Enoch lived in. And it's believed by many that the age in which he lived is a phototype of the age in which you and I find ourselves in today. When we look at those chapters closely, we find that it was a world of scientific discovery. At the end of chapter 4, there's a contrast made between the carnal sons of Cain and the saintly sons of Seth. And we read about the sons of Cain and the great discoveries and advances they made. One builded a city there in verse 17. In verse 22 it says, "And Zilhah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificery in brass and iron. So it was a time when discoveries were being made and man was making great advances. And of course, friends, we find that along with this discovery, this scientific discovery and advancement, we find as we look at the world again that Enoch lived in, that it was a world of social degeneration. Because we find that things began to go on the downgrade, they began to decline. And along with this discovery and this advancement that man was making, there came this degeneration. People were better off, but their standards became lower. And of course, that's very much like the world in which you and I live in today. In our lifetime, we have seen great discoveries being made in many different fields. In the field of engineering, great discoveries and advancement has been made. In the world of medicine, my great advances has been made. Medicines have been discovered to treat illnesses that years ago would have taken a person's life very early on. We see in the news of a little guy up there, the country, who was born with no chin. And they're able to take him over to America, and they're able to perform an operation that restructures his whole face and gives him a chin. My, what tremendous advances has been made. Advances in engineering, in medicine, in space. We live in the age of transplants, of space travel, of mass production. And many of these things that men have discovered are good and bring comfort and help to many people. But the fact of the matter is this, that they haven't made man's heart any better. Because socially and morally and spiritually, standards are lower today than they ever were before. My, it's true that we never had it so good. But in another sense, things have never been so low or bad as far as the standards and principles of life are concerned. It was a world that Enoch lived in, a world where there was great discoveries made, yet a world of degeneration. It was a world of spiritual decline. It was a world where the Spirit of God was working, but there was very little response from the heart of man. When we come in to the early part of chapter 6, we find there Noah, and of course Enoch and Noah overlapped a little bit, and it says there at the beginning of chapter 6 that God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." My, it was quite evident that the Spirit of God was working, but it seemed there was no response from the heart of the people. And in fact, when they came to the judgment, there was only 8 souls who entered into the ark at that particular time. And surely that's how we find it today. We live in a day when there's very little response from the hearts of the people to the preaching of the gospel. Some of us remember the times when you heard of people getting saved, when many missions were conducted, and people were saved by quite a number. And now, my, you're very fortunate if one or two comes through for the Lord. My, the day of the world in which Enoch lived, a day of advancement, a day of degeneration, a day of spiritual decline. The world in which Enoch lived was a world of sinful deeds. It says this in chapter 6, verse 4. It says there were giants in the earth in those days. And some of the commentators tells us that when it speaks here of giants, they weren't talking about giants who were people of stature. They were talking about people who were giants in sin. Men who were renowned for their wickedness. And dear friends, I'm sure that you can think of many people today that you've heard about in the news, and they're famous because of their wickedness. They're famous because of the evil that they have brought into this world. One thinks of Hitler. One thinks of Idi Amin. One thinks of the situation in Zimbabwe that we've heard about already this morning. One thinks of the terrible things that happened in that cellar in Austria that we've heard about recently. This is the world in which you and I live. We live in a world where man's heart is full of wickedness. It tells us here in verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth." That was the age in which Enoch and Noah lived. And you can write that phrase over the world in which you and I live today, that God looks down and he sees that the wickedness of man is great in the earth. That every imagination of the hearts of his heart was only evil continually. It says here in verse 11 of chapter 6, "And the earth was corrupt before God." Surely we could write that over the world in which you and I live in. It says, "And the world was filled with violence." Surely we could write that over the world that you and I live in today. My, just the other day, a man is queuing in Sainsbury, somewhere in England. He's wanting to pay for his goods. Somebody comes along and punches him to death and murders him. This is the world in which you and I find ourselves today. It was a world of satanical darkness. There was days of demon possession. And you know, friends, we look out today and we see the knife culture and the drug culture and the drink culture. And we see the devil's hand in many of these things. The world in which Enoch lived is so like the world in which you and I live in today. But the thing that I want to get over to you this morning is this, that in this world that Enoch lived, in this world of progress and development, yet in this world where standards were low, where the Spirit of God was abroad, but there was very little response, in this world that was overflowing with sin, yet there was a man who walked with God. Enoch walked with God. There was a man in that sinful age who was a light shining for God in the midst of the darkness. And you might think, you know, it's impossible where I live or where I work. It's impossible to live for God. It's impossible to do anything for God. Let me tell you this, that Enoch did it. Enoch did it. He walked with God in that world. And Daniel did it because Daniel lived in Babylon for 70 years. And that's what God has you and I here for this morning, to shine for him in this dark world of sin. To live for him. To be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And the wonderful thing is this, that God hasn't left us to our own resources. He has given us a power within us. It's called the power of the Holy Ghost. And that power enables you and I to be that light and to be that salt in this world in which we live. So you see, first of all, the second thing I want you to see this morning is the walk that Enoch took. It says, "And Enoch walked with God." He walked with God. And this is the walk that we all need to take, surely, friends. You know, the cause of that walk, or the reason behind that walk, I think it's found here in these verses in Genesis 5. In verse 21 it says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah." For the first 65 years, there's no word or indication that he was walking with God at all. But then it says in the next verse, And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. So it would indicate that it was after the birth of this son, this son called Methuselah, that Enoch's life changed and he began to walk with God. He didn't walk with God before he begot Methuselah. He walked with God after he begot Methuselah. Now, Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall come. Or when he is dead, it shall be sent. And you might ask the question, what shall be sent or what shall come? Well, God was speaking to Enoch through the birth of this child and through the name. And he was saying when he dies, when he is dead, then the flood or the judgment will come. And he was revealing to Enoch that the world would last as long as this boy lived, but no longer. And of course, Enoch had no idea how long Methuselah would live. He didn't know that he would be the oldest man ever recorded, 969 years. That's the length of time that Methuselah lived. And I'm sure that every time Enoch thought about this, and maybe the child took ill, he wondered, was this the time? And my, when Enoch got this revelation and this truth dawned upon him, this man's life was never the same again. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. He realized he was near the end. It was near the end. Wonder, friends, this morning, as we look around us in this world in which we live, surely it must come to our attention that this world cannot go on like this. Not only from a moral situation, but my, the world, it seems, is getting tired. It's beginning to break up. The icebergs are beginning to melt in the North Pole. So many things are happening in our world. I wonder, has it ever dawned upon us that we may be living in the last days? That we're getting near to the end? That the Lord has promised to come again, and he must fulfill that promise sometime, and it may be near at hand. And I believe if we realize that, then we'd pray as we've never prayed before, and witness as we've never witnessed before, and live as we'd never lived before. You know, Enoch walked with God. The consequences of this walk. You know, when you walk with something, when you walk with someone, you're conscious of their presence. You're conscious that they're there, that they're beside you. And when a believer walks with God each day, one of the great blessings of that walk is to enjoy a conscious sense of the Lord's presence. It's true that the Lord has promised us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But are you conscious of that presence? Are you aware of that presence? My, when you're in the storm, his presence brings you peace. When you feel weak, his presence gives you strength. When you don't know what the future holds, his presence helps you to go on because you know that he knows the future and he holds the future. And dear friends, this is what it means to walk with God. To walk with God means being conscious of that presence with you in your daily life. You know, the considerations of this walk, it was a walk with God. Enoch walked with God. The prophet Amos tells us, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, when you're walking with God, you're walking in submission to his word. To walk with God means obedience. living in obedience to the Word of God. When you walk with God, it means living in subjection to the Lordship of Christ. He is Lord over all, every part and department of your life. To walk with God means to be surrendered to His will. Yes, it means not only to walk with God, but when you walk with God, it means a walk apart. When you walk with God, you walk apart from the world. Walking with God means the pathway of separation and holiness. You cannot walk with God and walk with the world at the same time, as many people try to do today. But dear friends, that's impossible. It indicates a walk of holiness, a walk where you're conscious of His presence, a walk of obedience, a walk of surrender, a walk which is a holy life. And dear friends, a walk with God indicates a walk forward, because when we walk in a forward direction, and those who are walking with God are going forward in their Christian life. This is the walk that Enoch took, and this is the walk that you and I need to take today. The world Enoch lived in, the walk Enoch took, he walked with God. He walked with God. You know, when we go over into Hebrews chapter 11, and that little verse there in verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him, but before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." You see, this is the witness that Enoch made. This man, Enoch, walked with God for 300 years. And Enoch had a testimony in this world in which he lived. And his testimony pleased God. He lived a life that was pleasing to God. You know, friends, the stories told of a preacher who came to a church one Sunday morning and preached, and at the end of the service, a man came to the Lord. He waited behind and received Christ as a Savior. 10 years later, that same pastor, that same preacher was back in the same church. And as he stood on the pulpit and looked down onto the congregation, there in the front pew, he saw the man who had led to the Lord 10 years before. When the service was concluded, he went down and spoke to him, and he said, "Tell me, brother, how are you getting on in your Christian life?" And the man said, "Well," he said, "you know, I live my Christian life in a very simple way." He said, "You know, when I get up in the morning, I get up to please God that day." He said, "When I dress to please God." He said, "When I go out to work, I go out to work to please God. As I do my work, I do my work to please God." He said, "When I come home in the evening time, I come into the home so that I might please God. When I go out to church, I go to church that I might please God. When I pray to please God. Whatever I do, I seek to do it that I might please God." Dear friends, what a testimony. Have you and I got this testimony this morning? Is our walk pleasing God? Is the life that we live in the world outside, in the home, in the church surroundings, is the life that we live pleasing God? Or are we walking in such a manner that's pleasing to Him? Because that's how Enoch lived. And Enoch pleased God by walking with God. May we begin each day with this motive in mind, that in everything we do, in everything we undertake, that we might seek to do it unto the glory and unto the pleasure of God. This man had a testimony. You know, friends, there came a day when God took Enoch. And there'll come a day when our time down here will be over. And you know, we leave many things behind us when our day is done. We leave the home behind us. We leave the car. We leave the clothes. We leave so many things behind us. We probably leave a will behind us. But you know, the greatest thing that you can leave behind you is a good testimony. Make sure whatever you leave behind, that you leave a good testimony. I was at a funeral about a year ago in another church up in Ballymoney there, and I'm sure there was 500 or 600 people at the funeral. And those who spoke at the funeral, man, they spoke so highly of the deceased, the man who had been taken. And you know, it became obvious by what they said and by the number of people that were present, the man who had been called home, he left behind him a good testimony. And whatever you leave, make sure you leave a good testimony. My Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. You see the world in which he lived. You see, dear friends, this morning, the walk that Enoch took. He walked with God. You see the witness that Enoch had. You see, finally, the way that Enoch left back in Genesis 5 and 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In Hebrews 11, an extra word is added. It says he was not found. And the clear implication here is that Enoch was missed, and people looked for him. You know, friends, someday we'll leave this world. Someday we'll leave this world. Someday the journey will be over for us. The day will be done. You know what Enoch was doing when God took him? He was walking with God. He was living in fellowship. He was in sweet communion. He was enjoying the Lord. What a way to leave this earth and go to heaven. Walking with God. If the Lord were to come, will he find you walking with him? Will he find you worshiping? Will he find you working? Enoch lived at a very different age in which we live, and yet a very difficult age. But he walked with God, and his walk pleased God. May your walk and may my walk, may it be pleasing to our Heavenly Father above. The hymn writer said, "Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me